All right, 1 Timothy 4, very familiar verse, verse 12. Paul is telling young Timothy, giving him some instruction. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, everything you say in conversation, whatever you do, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity."
Yeah.
Now, he told Timothy, he said, be an example of the believers. By the way, he didn't say to the believers. He didn't say be an example to the believers. Be an example of what a believer is supposed to be, of the believers. And he says in charity. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Be an example of the believers in charity. 1 Corinthians 12. We begin reading in verse 31. He says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, charity is one of those abstract terms that you just can't really define, like grace and so forth. Charity, it's love. It includes love. It's about love, but it's love in action. It's what he told Timothy over there, that we're to be example of the believers, of what a believer really is. And over here, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, defines the word charity for us. This chapter gives the definition of charity, and we're going to take a few minutes and go through that definition and see exactly what God says charity is, and why all of us should have charity in our hearts as Christians. We'll see, if we don't have it, we're really not very good Christians at all. He did say, "I'll show you a more excellent way." Now, those first three verses in chapter 13, Paul says, basically, it doesn't matter what I do. If I don't have any charity, it's worthless. It counts for nothing. I can win souls. I can read my Bible. I can be faithful to church. I can witness. I can testify. I can sing. I can do whatever I want to do in the name of God. But if it doesn't come from a heart of charity, it doesn't count. This doesn't count. All right, let's look at this definition. Keep your Bible open there. We'll start in verse 4, and God will give us the definition to charity. He says in verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." Patience and kindness are the positive qualities of genuine love. Patience and kindness go together. A person who is patient is going to be a kind person. A kind person is going to be a patient person. So this is a quality of genuine love, of God's love manifested through us, is patience and kindness. Romans 12, verse 18, Paul says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." You know what our problem is with living peaceably with all men? He tells us in Hebrews 10:36, you have need of patience. We are impatient creatures. We want what we want, and we want it right now. We don't want to have to wait for anything. And if anybody gets in our way, we're not going to be patient with that person. Patience is an attribute of charity. I'm just going to ask you, as we go through this definition, to analyze your own heart and see if you've got charity in there, because that is the more excellent way. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He said if somebody's got a quarrel against us, we're to forgive them right now. We're not to hold grudges. We're not to get bitter. We're not to be filled with unforgiveness, because those things negate charity completely out of our heart. If we've got charity there, we're going to forgive a person just like that. Let me say something about forgiveness. There's two sides to that thing. When somebody does you wrong, you forgive them right then in your heart. That's for your sake. When they come to you and apologize, you forgive them verbally, and that's for their sake. But if you don't forgive them right away for your sake, you'll get filled with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And God cannot use you when you've got those things inside. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 to 6, Paul says we're to approve ourselves in much patience, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. So verse 4 said, charity suffereth long. Suffereth long, that means to put up with things a long time, to forbear, to tolerate things. And let's be honest, it takes a lot of charity and a lot of patience to put up with a lot of Christian junk that we face. Amen. A lot of people we face in this Christian life, even in our own churches, our fellow members, a lot of times it takes a lot of patience to deal with people. But God said if you got charity, you're going to be long-suffering and you're going to be doing those kind of things. Aren't you glad that Jesus was long-suffering? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, true love, charity, extends kindness to a person, whether the recipient of it is grateful for it or not. Does it make any difference what their attitude is about it? Aren't you glad that God loved us when we didn't love Him? He extended charity to us when we don't want anything to do with Him. And we're supposed to do the same thing. Example of the believers. Titus 3, verses 4, 5, and 6, Paul says, after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, he says, which He has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Look at verse 4 again. He says, charity envieth not. A heart of charity is not jealous, not envious, not covetous about anything. You know why Jesus got delivered to Pilate by the Pharisees? The Bible says very clearly they delivered Him for envy. Envy. They didn't like what He was doing. They didn't like Him getting disciples following Him and all that, taken away from them. So for envy and jealousy, they delivered Him to be murdered, to be put to death. And all too often we Christians, we get all bent out of shape because we get envious and jealous about what somebody else is doing and how God's blessing somebody else instead of us. I'm telling you, we pastors, we have to be careful about patting people on the back in the church, because if you miss somebody, they're going to get all bowed up and mad and leave the church over. No charity. Look at verse 4 again. He says, charity vaunteth not itself. It's not bossy. It's not conceited, not boastful. But don't you just hate a braggart? I mean, you hate to be around somebody that all... Every time they open their mouth, you know what the subject's going to be. They're going to be talking about themselves. No charity in a person. We ought to be talking about Jesus about 99% of the time instead of ourselves. Romans 12:16, he said, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. That means get down off your pedestal. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The Bible says, esteem other how? Better than yourself. Boy, if we all had that attitude, the church would be a lot better place than it is. Esteem other better than yourself. Proverbs 26, verse 12, seest thou man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope, God says, of a fool than of him. Somebody puffed up, full of himself. Somebody said, if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. Amen. We do. Amen. Got to be careful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, he talks about Christians who have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. When we get full of ourselves, it's because we've forgotten we were purged from our old sins. We forgot where God found us in the miry clay and brought us up out of a horrible pit. We forgot all about that. We need to remember that the person you're mad about and the person who's done you wrong, you are just as wicked as they are. I mean, where do we get off even having a bad attitude towards somebody else? We all deserve hell. Amen. Proverbs 16 verse 2, he says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You know what that means? That means I'm right and you're wrong. Amen. Proverbs 13:10, he tells you the only reason anybody ever has an argument. Anybody know what that verse says? Only by pride. He says, only by pride cometh contention, arguments, altercations, all that stuff. Only comes by pride. Every argument you've ever had in your life, every one you've ever been in, whatever argument you got in a day, the reason you got in is because you're full of pride. The only reason I'll argue with anybody is because I want to prove I'm right and he's wrong. That's pride. That is not charity. Amen. Look at verse 4 again. He says charity is not puffed up. It's not proud, not arrogant. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6, he says, learn not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. There's no place for us to be puffed up. No place for that at all. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1, he says, we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Knowledge puffeth up. You know something about somebody and your old Adamic nature causes you to want to use that against that person. Knowledge puffeth up. But if you got charity in your heart, you want to edify the person and build them up rather than try to tear them down. Charity. Look at verse 5 now. In fact, God said in Proverbs 8:13, he said, pride and arrogancy do I hate, saith the Lord. In verse 5, he says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not snappy. It's not rude. It's not coming from bad temper or something like that. Proverbs talks about a person who answereth the matter before he heareth it. That's the way we are. Do you realize that you are prone to believe the side of the story that first gets told to you? Whoever comes to you first and tells you something, you're prone to believe that without going checking with the other person, without seeing if that thing is true or not, and you operate on what that person told you without seeing if they've slanted the thing or told a lie. Let me just say this. All of us, every time we open our mouth, we're biased. Amen. Everything we say is slanted from our own viewpoint. And so we're out of order when we listen to somebody, some talebearer, some gossip comes and tells you something. You're out of order with God to take their word for it without checking that thing out. Amen. Find yourself acting the wrong way sometimes because of that. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Look at verse 5 again. Charity seeketh not her own. A charitable heart is not selfish, not self-centered, anything like that. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with what? His own ways. Filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from what? From himself. Thank God he satisfies us from ourselves if we'll let him do that for us. Instead of being filled with ourselves all the time. Charity seeketh not her own. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7, Paul says, and I'm sure you're familiar with that chapter, he's talking about Christians going to law with each other and suing each other and all that stuff. And he said in verse 7, there's utterly a fault among you. Why do you not take wrong? Why do you not suffer yourselves to be defrauded? He says, hey, why don't you just take the fault? Take the blame for the thing for the sake of unity in the body of Christ and go on down the road and forget about the thing. Instead of being so full of pride, you're going to prove that you're right about that thing. Who cares who's right? The Lord's always right, so it doesn't really matter about us. Amen. This thing is not about us. It's about Him. Amen. Paul said, you got a fault. You got a fault among you. Why don't you just take wrong? Why don't you just allow yourself to be defrauded? Well, let me tell you a little secret. How many of you say, put your hand up? Okay. Thank you. You can put it down. Everybody that put your hand up, you know how many rights you got? None. Zero. You've been bought with a price, your own body, soul, and spirit by somebody else. He owns you completely. You don't have a right to do anything without His permission. Amen. We don't have any rights. Okay, if I don't have any rights, how could anybody infringe on my rights? Can't do it. They can't do it. So Paul says, why don't you just take the blame and go on? Just forget about it. It's not all that important anyway. Amen. Look at verse 5 again. He says, charity is not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. It's not vengeful. It's, hey, how long is your fuse?
Amen.
What does it take to get you mad about something? What does it take to fire you up and get you all irritated about something? He says in Romans 12, verses 17 to 21, recompense to no man evil for evil, as much as lieth in you, according to that verse a while ago, live peaceably with all men. The next verse says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, stop him. That's not charity. He said, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, the Lord took this thing so far. He said we're to love our enemies. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something what Paul said there in Romans chapter 12. When God said, vengeance is mine, and recompense no man evil for evil, Paul said, rather give place unto wrath. You know what that means? That means somebody doing you bad, get out of the way and let God take care of them. You ever see somebody, hear somebody blaspheme or curse or something like that, and somebody says, oh, I'm going to move over from you before the lightning strikes? Amen. Amen. Listen, I found out a long time ago, God can handle my problems a lot better than I can. And when I try to take matters in my own hand, I just make a royal mess out of everything. So the best thing I can do, if they're railing on me, if they're giving me a hard time, just give place to wrath and let God take care of it. Amen. Amen. By the way, that'll keep you from getting ulcers too and sleepless nights over what people are saying about you. He says in verse 5 again, charity thinketh no evil. Charity keeps short accounts. Short accounts. You know what a lot of husbands and wives do? And I know nobody here does this. He or she does something out of order, and she or he says, that's the same thing you did November the 15th, 1992. Charity keeps short accounts. If it happened yesterday, we've already forgotten it, and we're living for God today. Don't hold grudges. Don't remember the bad things people have done to you. It's not worth it. Dwell on people's good points, and just for the record, everybody on the planet has something good you can find about them. Just like everybody has something bad you can find about them. Dwell on people's good points. You know what? That will eliminate gossip. Just think about the good points. And don't attribute evil motives to what people do. Boy, we're good about that. Well, I know he did that to get even with me. You don't know any such thing. You don't know why he did that. Well, she said that, she was talking about me. You don't know if she was or not. Amen. But we're good at that, boy. We attribute bad motives to whatever people do and whatever people say, and you're not in their mind, and you don't know why they did it. You don't know what's going on. Might not have had anything to do with you. Why do we think we're so important? Anybody's thinking about us anyway. You know what a lot of Christians will do? They'll walk in that back door over there on Sunday morning right before church, and a couple people over here stand over here talking, and immediately they'll say, oh, they're talking about me over there in the corner. You really ain't that important. Amen. Charity thinketh no evil, he said. We should have the idea that our court system used to have. A person's innocent until proven guilty. Amen. Look at verse 6. He says, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 32, he said, who knowing the judgment of God, talking about wicked people in that chapter, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If you've got a charitable heart, you don't rejoice in people getting in sin. You don't want to see people doing that kind of thing. You know what? Churches are full of Christians that if somebody messes up, there's going to be somebody in the congregation going to say, I knew they'd never make it. Better be careful, you might not make it either. Amen. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. It ought to break our hearts if a brother or sister gets into sin. It ought to put us on our knees for that person.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't rejoice in iniquity. Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28 says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil.
Right.
A muckraker, man. He's going around digging up evil about people, and goes on in the very next verse, and he says, a whisperer separateth chief friend. I've seen that happen. I've seen that in my own life years ago. You got friend A, who's a good friend with friend B, and both of them are friends with friend C. Friend C comes to friend A and tells friend A that friend B said something. Are you confused yet? Friend B said something bad about friend A, and immediately friend A breaks fellowship with friend B because of what friend C said to him. A whisperer separated chief friends. Goes back there a while ago. You better find out the other side of the story. Amen. Amen. There are people who will try to bust up your friendship because they're just jealous of your friendship. That's their only motive. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of what? Sins. And he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. He says, have fervent charity that will cover the multitude of sins, and put in the place of all that a hospitality one toward another. Aren't you glad for the charity of God? You ever thought about the multitude of sins that He covered for you? Thank God I'll never have to see a list of all those sins He covered for me. I don't even want to see something like that. But God says, Paul says, if we got that in our own heart, we will cover a lot of stuff that people are doing. It's none of our business anyway. Somebody messing up the church, that's the pastor's business to look out for that. Not all the members. Amen. Amen. Charity cover the multitude of sins. Proverbs 10 verse 12, he said, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. That doesn't mean you're condoning what they're doing. It doesn't mean you're saying that it's all right. But thank God, listen, Psalm 103 verses 10 to 12 says, God hath not dealt with us after our iniquities. Thank God He has not dealt with us to the full extent of our sins, and we ought to have the same attitude toward everybody else. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but verse 6 says, charity rejoiceth in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. In other words, if you've got a charitable heart, you won't get upset when something good is said about somebody else. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh man, wasn't that a great song they sung up there? And you won't say, second rate. No, you won't do anything like that. Oh, wasn't that a great preacher? Ah, I could do better. You won't do stuff like that. You rejoice in the truth. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 says, if one member be honored, all the members are supposed to rejoice with it. Your pastor gets up here and honors somebody for whatever, everybody else ought to rejoice in that thing. Amen. Rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7, look at this. Charity beareth all things. Let me hold your finger there. Look at 2 Peter just a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beareth all things. 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 5, he said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. When you got saved by faith. That's correct. You got saved by faith. That's the starting point. That's not the end of the thing. He said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now notice the order. Temperance has to be there before there can be any patience in your life. Patience has to come before godliness. Godliness comes before kindness, and kindness comes before charity. Charity is the more excellent way. That's the top of the heap. That's the last thing he said to add to your faith. But you've got to go through a process to get there. And if you don't have any temperance, if you don't have any self-control in your life, you'll never become a patient person. And if you have no patience, you will never be godly in your walk, in your daily walk with the Lord. And if you have no godliness, you'll never have any real kindness coming out of you. And if there's no kindness, you'll never have charity in your heart. You'll never reach the more excellent way. And sad to say, probably 95% of Christians never do reach it. Because they don't add to their faith. They just get saved and sit down. And don't go any further with that thing. For the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, we've got to reach that plateau of charity. And that starts with that process of adding to our faith. Verse 7 again, he says, charity believeth all things. He's not talking about it being gullible, but he's talking about being trusted. Have some trust and confidence and faith. Give the benefit of a doubt to people. A lot of times we just want to condemn somebody just like that without giving the benefit of a doubt. Without saying, why did that happen? It's like a little boy walked out the back door, slammed the door, kicked the cat off the porch, and went to yelling and screaming. What was his problem? It started way back earlier in the day when his daddy was on the job. The daddy messed up. The boss chewed the daddy out. The daddy harbored that anger all day long, all the way to the house. Walked in the house. His wife says something kind to him. He yells and snaps at her. Makes her mad. She goes back in the kitchen. The little boy asks her a question. She said, shut up. Get out of here. I'm cooking supper. So he goes out and kicks the cat off the porch. Amen. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Give the benefit of a doubt. You don't know why they're acting the way they are today. Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. No hypocrisy in it. Verse 7 again, he said, charity hopeth all things. Even when things look bad, if you've got a charitable heart, you can still have hope. You will still have hope that God's going to work it all out. A Christian who has reached that point of charity in the heart, he knows Romans 8:28 means exactly what it says. But you know what the average Christian does? Somebody's having a problem. They'll say, oh, brother, all things work together for good to them that love God. But you let the dark cloud get over them, and they forget that verse. Charity will cause you to have that kind of hope all the time. This too shall pass. It'll turn out all right. God will fix the thing. Amen. It'll be over sooner or later. We've gone through enough rough times in the past that God took care of. Why do we doubt Him today when something shows up? Same God. Amen. Charity hopeth all things. If you've got charity in your heart, you're not going to get depressed. Amen. You're not going to get down in the dumps. And then verse 7 again, he says, charity endureth all things. A real love will tolerate even the things that are trying to destroy it. Amen. That's what God does with us. He tolerates our attempts to destroy Him working in our lives, even unconsciously trying to destroy God doing what He wants to in our lives. So if you got charity, you'll keep on loving the person who hates you. Amen. That's an attribute of God. It's not in us to do that. You've got to add to your faith till you get to that point you can love even your enemies like the Lord tells us to do. Didn't Jesus do that? What did He say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They're down there gambling over His clothes, man. They just now forgive them. Why? They don't know what they do. And that's us most of the time. We hurt other people. We don't even know what we're doing. We just need to have charity. And endure all things. Verse 8. Here's the capstone. Charity never faileth. Never faileth. Love always wins. It always wins. Say, well, I tried that thing of charity to somebody and they still hated me. The charity didn't fail. You got to remember this. It's like somebody says, man, I prayed for so-and-so 25 years and he died and went to hell. God didn't answer my prayer. You forget that person had a will of his own. He can make a choice for or against God in spite of your prayers. Well, the Bible says the word of God is not returning to him void. It doesn't. It doesn't. That word is a sword. It'll cut and heal, or it'll cut and kill. Every single time it'll do one of those two. It'll never return void. Charity never returns void. If it doesn't win that other person's heart, guess what? It will do something for you. It'll make you a better Christian. Amen. Charity never faileth. Look at verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is not your faith, it's not your hope, it's your charity. And if you don't have that, then you don't have the greatest of the three. Now what's he saying there? Now abideth faith. You know what faith is? That's what got you in. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace through faith are you saved. Is that what it says? You got in by faith. Now by it's also hope. What's that? That's what's going to get you out. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But somewhere between there is your daily life, and you've got to have charity there. It's not the faith that got you in that's the greatest. It's not the hope that's going to get you out that's the greatest. It's what's going on right now in your life that's going to keep you going for God, and that's charity. Amen. Without it, you're not going to stay in the race. You're not going to keep going. That's the greatest Christian attribute we can have, is charity. That's what he told us in 2 Peter. When he said, out of your faith, he stopped with charity. And that's why Paul said it's a more excellent way. It's better than all the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. He told us that in the first part of this chapter. In fact, back in verses 1 to 3, he said in verse 1, if we don't have charity, we're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We're just hot air. We're just gas bags. That's all we are, a bunch of noise. He said in verse 2, if we don't have charity, we're nothing. Nothing at all. And verse 3, he said, if we don't have charity, it doesn't profit us at all. So, you win 100 people to the Lord, but you didn't have charity in your heart. Guess what? They got in, but you didn't get a reward. You need to understand, just because somebody did something that is rewardable from God doesn't mean they get the reward. You've got to have the right heart about that thing. Amen. First John chapter 3, verse 18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but indeed, that's action, and in truth. Jesus said, John 13:35, He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if what? You have love, one. You missed it. You didn't read it. He didn't say one for another. He said one to another. That's an action word. One to another. Example of the believer. He said men would see, if you got love one to another, you can love somebody, they don't even know you love them. You understand that? That's love for somebody. Love to somebody, they know you love them because you've demonstrated that in deed and in truth, in action. So Jesus said the way that world's going to know we're His disciples if they see love being administered one to another. Amen. That's that charity in action. James 2:8, he said, if you fulfill the royal law. Anybody know what the royal law is? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. You know why it's called the royal law? Because back there in John chapter 13, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Amen. So the royal law is the law of the king. Look at 1 John chapter 4. I'm winding down here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, anybody can say this, I love God. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, what is that? That's not showing love one to another. He hateth his brother, he's what?
A liar.
A liar? You suppose there's any Christian liars today? Now look at this. Look at this. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? How can you say I love a being I've never seen before when I hate somebody right in front of my face? And he said, you're a liar. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Last verse we're going to look at, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. How could you possibly love God really when you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ? If there's one Christian you hate, you can't stand to be around, you do not love God.
Right.
All it is lip service. The Lord talked about those who say with their mouth they love the Lord, but their heart is far from Him, He said. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, look at this. We are bound, that means this is something absolutely we got to do. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. It's fitting, it's suitable, it's meet. We're bound to give thanks for this. For what? Because that your faith groweth exceedingly. That's that adding to your faith we saw in 2 Peter. He said, we're bound to give thanks because your faith is growing, but it's something else. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because of the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, I'm bound to give thanks to God because everybody in that church in Thessalonica Thessalonica, their charity toward each other is abounding. I wonder if Paul, if he were here, could he say that about Gloryland Baptist Church or any other church represented here tonight? That I've got to give thanks to God because their charity is abounding one toward another. That's what he should be doing. Amen. Do you have charity in your heart tonight? Are you a charitable Christian? Is the love of God really shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you?